There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
Our perspective is yours for the taking, but you'll have to join us first. We left everything we debated at the Yonko table.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for the Yonko table, the table that will make their dreams come true.
Yo, folks, welcome to the latest and the greatest from the Yonko table. That is the voice of Grandmaster Hoop coming at you from the chocolate factory. I don't know, because we're here to talk about the latest from the world of Roald Dahl and the latest adaptation of the tale of Mr. Wonka. That's right. We're here to talk about Wonka, the new movie. It just came out. We're here to talk about it. With me, as always, is not Dr. Chase. He's clearly not here. Don't know where he went. But there's some supernovas in the house here to talk about everything Wonka. Let's hear who we'll be hearing from tonight.
Hello, hi, how are you? It's Apex, here to spill the tea.
Perfect. All right, listen here. We're here to talk about Wonka. And goodness gracious, I think we got to get into just kind of overall, how do we feel leaving that movie? Apex, how'd you feel?
Well, I felt very good. Actually, very surprisingly good, is how I felt, because in the beginning I was like, oh shit, girl, I didn't even know it was a musical, because I went in blind. That's a good thing to know. And then towards the end, it just built up, and then the ending was really, really good. So I think I was good. I came out of there feeling whimsical.
Whimsical, he says. Well, goodness, I'm on the same little page as you. Yeah, I didn't believe when the reviews were coming out that it was actually a good movie. I was like, there's no way. It's Wonka. Who cares about Willy Wonka anymore? And Timothée Chalamet, overrated. I take back every word that I said.
Overrated?
Yeah. That movie was phenomenal. I don't know. I was bawling. I was crying at the end of the movie.
Fucking dramatic.
Oh, no. They earned those tears. They earned them.
Yes, bitch. No, he was fucking crying. I was laughing at him crying. But yeah, Timothée Chalamet did his thing. He did really freaking good. I'm sure we're going to get into it and everything like that. But I would say, off first glance, Wonka, when you go to see it, if you're thinking it's like how the other Willy Wonkas are, I would say no. It's definitely its own thing. It has a lot of originality. It does have some like things that it says from the old movies, for sure. But it's very more its own thing, its own lane. And it opens up the world of Wonka, for sure. Because I feel like in the other movies, they're so the factory, right? And this is all like the predecessor of it all,
you know. And to what Drew are saying, yes, if you come up with the perspective of you're a big Gene Wilder 71 fan, Johnny Depp, you know, you're, I don't know,
doesn't know the year.
No, I know the, no, Johnny Depp is 2005.
Okay.
No, I'm just like trying to, I don't know how to tell people, just don't try to come in with a comparison ready to go. Kind of just take the idea of it's Willy Wonka, it's chocolate, and let it run.
It's also a musical. If you did not know that, I was gagging in the beginning when it was thing. It was giving me a little bit of Aladdin tease when Mr. Will Smith starts singing, and I said, bitch, what? That's Miss weird. Ma'am? Girl, he fucking slapped back then. I was like, Will Smith, what the fuck? But then Timothée Chalamet in the beginning, I was like, what the fuck is happening? But there was a little adjustment period after the shock, and then you get into the movie and the story, and then it's like, okay, now we're good. But in the beginning, yeah, it's a little shock. It's a little bit niche for that. If you don't like musicals, I definitely think you may not like this movie. But I know there's differing opinions on that.
Look, okay, it's a musical. Technically, all the other Willy Wonkas are musicals. Technically, kind
there's
of
music in them.
Okay, there's music in the Johnny Depp one. No. There's music this in the one, Johnny. This one's a musical.
This is a musical because it's a full, songs move the story.
Correct.
Okay,
it's a full.
In the Johnny Depp movies, the music is there because it has it little fucking there. Songs,
right,
or whatever that they fucking sing, but it doesn't push the story like that. No,
no, no. Okay, that's a fair point. But actually, you know, this brings up before we get into the movie, I just want to establish: are you a fan of Johnny Depp? Are you a fan of Gene Wilder in the original? Are you a fan of the Tom and Jerry Willy Wonka? There was one 6 years ago.
I don't know what the fuck the Tom and Jerry one for Willy Wonka is.
It's the same movie, but Tom and Jerry are there.
All right, bitch. Well, they should have been at a cheese factory because that's what the fuck makes sense, because Tom wants that fucking cheese, not that chocolate.
Jerry is a mouse.
Oh, fuck. Cheese. You're right. You know what? Tom likes milk, which is dairy like cheese. So, boom. Yeah, I'm a fan of both of the movies. The original one was good. The Johnny Depp one was great, but of course I was of age. So I'm like here, 9, 10 years old, fucking like, oh my God, Johnny Depp is so funny. And that's so good. And I'm like, look at this violet bitch getting all big as fuck. I mean, that blueberries or whatever. But no, Timothée Chalamet was also good too. I think they were all good. I think it's the, I mean, I could totally see this like a Spider-Man debate where it's like, oh, which one's your favorite? Like Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and fucking Tom Holland shit. But yeah, we'll get into it.
Well, no, I think it's good though that you say that you're a fan of both. I think it's good to establish because it kind of goes into, you know, your maybe preconceived ideas of what you want from this movie. This movie is indeed a prequel. It's set before the events of, you know, like Charlie's Not Born. And from here, honestly, it is a spiritual predecessor to the 71 film. There are more references to that film than, say, the Johnny Depp and Tim Burton. I mean, Tim Burton took it down a dark path. I don't think these people were trying to recreate that. And speaking of these people, this is the Paddington team. We need to shout out them. Paul King and Simon Farnaby, Paul King director, and then Simon and Paul co-wrote the Paddington movies and this movie. Have you seen the Paddington movies?
No, I have not seen Paddington movies, unfortunately. I maybe saw them when I was younger, like little, but not these new ones. No, I'm talking like the old school, like the drawn, like pen and paper looking bitch. Oh, fuck, maybe I am. All these bear movies. All these bear movies, the Country Blue Bear movie, fuck, the Bernstein Bears, all these motherfucking bears, bitch. But no, I have not seen the Paddington movies. However, with this movie, you have mentioned something different because the older Willy Wonkas were like darker, right?
Oh, the Tim Burton one for sure.
Yeah, but with this one wasn't really that dark. One was definitely more a fresh story. It was more fun. It was family friendly for the most part. Like all of it, basically. But yeah, no, it was a fresh take on it. And it was a bit produced. There was a lot of CGI, a lot of stuff, but a lot of magic. I didn't know Willy Wonka really had all that magic, you know, because I feel like in the factories, it was like the factory was magical. Yeah, it was like the factory's magical. No, this motherfucker is a magician. Or whatever, like he's like, bitch, I got a ray of hope and sunshine and all this shit in a bottle, and I make this bitches fly. So yeah, he's a fucking magician, y'all.
He says that in the movie that he wanted to be a magician, then you know, the love of chocolate. But to everything that you're saying, this is what I will like to deem the Paddington effect. When people talk about the Paddington movies, I don't know, they come into those movies, I don't know, expect a kid family friendly movie about a bear. And then they walk out being like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I think this Wonka movie can have people feel like that. Whatever this magic is, Paul King and Simon Farnaby, they got it down pat. It is a science. They got it down. And they just said, let's apply it to Wonka. And yeah, this movie works on many levels. So, you know, we're talking about Timothée Chalamet. I want to shout him out again just because I don't think anyone's doing it like Timothée Chalamet. He's a very versatile actor. And with this movie, he has solidified me. This is kind of, I don't know. I don't know who's in his generation of actors, you know. There's him, there's Tom Holland, there's Zendaya.
Yeah, I think
Florence
that's
Pugh.
Yeah, I think that those are like the ones like just of that age. And I mean, I know everyone would probably put like Timothy Chalamet versus Tom Holland situation.
They typically do.
Of this because everyone loves a competition. For sure. Shout out to Tom Holland. I know he can sing and dance as well.
Yeah. Getting no good roles.
First off, Spider-Man, this bitch.
One good role. I said roles.
Okay, right. That's okay. Anyways, shout out to Timothy Chalamet. I've only seen one other movie of yours, Timothy Chalamet. So if you're watching this, I'm so fucking sorry. Call Me by Your Name because I'm gay. So I watched that movie and you were really good in that. I have not watched Dune, so unfortunately, I need to watch it. But yeah, he was really good in this musical, especially his acting wise. I'll say in the beginning it was a little bit cringe because it's just all the weirdness of it all. But he was a good, and he was also a good cast, like pick, like just off look, because like, you know, I'm not saying he looks like Johnny Depp, but it's like not too far off that it can be like, oh, this is like a younger Johnny Depp, and then it came to be a little bit older. So I think they casted him really well. He also does a really good job of showing growth in this movie. I feel that a lot of actors, and this is me talking mad shit because I'm not an actor, so sorry if any actor gets butt hurt in this fucking critique, but a lot of them sometimes don't show the growth of their character in the show, like in the movie. Maybe it's the writing, maybe it's not, but you can even see like Timothy in the way he acts throughout the entire movie. He starts off a little bit more naive, a little bit more like not as he's all in the clouds, he's in the dreamer. Fantasy. He's a dreamer, right? And then he kind of gets brought to reality as the movie continues to unfold, with his dream still true to who he is, but he just finds more practical ways of doing it, and he leans in more on other people and things like that, and he shows the growth. And then at the very end, when they do, you know, the song, and he goes, big turning moment, obviously, when he gets the money and is for other people, like he's a he becomes selfless for that. Super huge turning point. And I think Timothée Chalamet did a really good job of displaying all those emotions and like throughout the whole movie getting those morals. So people just can't carry. I'm not saying Tom Holland can't carry. Tom Holland can carry. I do love him. But yeah, I don't know who else would have done this role. Timothée Chalamet did his thing.
Yeah, no, I'm just team Timothy. Based on this movie, based on Dune, based on Little Women. I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name, but I heard he's great in that. He does not overact as Willy Wonka. He gives the right amount. I do feel to what Apex is saying, did it come off a little cringe? Yeah, we all thought that when we first saw the first trailer. Quiet up, listen down. Scratch that, reverse it. Corny as hell.
The commercial.
Correct, right. But I think he does find grace within the film. He does grow as a character within the film. And he really, in the really bigger emotional moments of the film, like when he's addressing his mother and being brought back down to reality, you could see the layers of his acting. Like, you know, Willy Wonka has a heart. Willy Wonka can be hurt. And I think Timothy really evokes that really well. And now, it's a musical too. Singing wise, I do not feel he overdid it. He did the right amount. Like even in the 1971, Gene Wilder, he barely sang. He sang Pure Imagination. That's all he sang. He might have sang one other song. I don't know.
He sang?
He did.
I don't remember.
Just like one.
But it was definitely giving Zac Efron High School Musical 2 vocal, where he's not really pushing, but he's just doing what he got to do. Or maybe that's High School Musical 1.
No, well, that's true. Seriously.
Yeah, but even then, I don't know. All I know is that it was definitely giving, like, it wasn't, you're gagging that he's singing, but you're not gagging by the actual vocal that was produced.
Yes.
That is what I'm trying to say. I'm just like, okay, he can keep the tune. He kept it going. He did all those things. And yeah. He did really good. I was just like, what is happening? Sorry, looking at this. All right. I was going to say, You're not really gagging about it. I will say some of my favorite songs from this musical, Wonka, is the one with him and Noodle after they're milking that giraffe and doing all that shit. That was the song that really brought me in to it. There was an adjustment period, like I said in the beginning. Like when there was some music, I was like, oh, bitch, this is giving a little cringe, especially the little song with the little villains or whatever. But then that song with the giraffe did bring me in. So shout out to him. And he was definitely doing his thing. I also do like the very last song, Pure Imagination, with that whole thing. They did a really good job with that. And I did like the little bit that I got from the middle. Oh, not the middle song. That I'm not going to even count that because I didn't get to see the whole thing because I went to the bathroom. But I will count when he opens his Wonka chocolate factory shop, whatever. When he opens this shop, that was a good vocal for him too. He kept it going. It was very good. Whoever shot the scene, you know, shout out to whoever the director and all those people that did their thing with that, because he killed that. That was really good.
Yes. Since we're on the topic of songs, you were mentioning, I believe her name is Kala Lane, plays Noodle. The song you were mentioning was For a Moment. So she's probably the breakout star of this film. I think she held her own with Timothy very well. She's 14, by the way.
Work, bitch.
Right.
Like literally get another job again.
Oh, she's going places.
And again.
That girl's going places.
Yeah, it was giving really. Yeah, she was fucking good. She actually, you know what? She fucking carried a lot, especially as like not the main role. A lot of the shit I think was a really good, and she probably was I'm sure Timothée Chalamet will say that she was a good actress to like bounce off of when they're like acting together, because I feel like their scenes, actually now I'm thinking about it, was probably like my favorite scenes in the whole movie, like their whole entire thing, especially because
their dynamic. Yes,
when you know what
dynamic.
Happens at the end, when you don't have it at the end, they set that fucking shit up to like be like icing on the cake.
And honestly, I don't know if I mean, typically on the Uncle Table, we always go into spoiler territory, but I don't even know if people care about the lore of Willy Wonka that much with the ending with her character. So we'll leave that for y'all to find out.
We'll get into it when we get there, because
I don't even know.
There's a lot of nostalgia stuff.
There is. So let's get into it. And I think what is really kind of brought to the forefront in this movie is that this is the world of Roald Dahl. Are you familiar with Roald Dahl?
No.
Matilda?
No. But I tried reading the book one time when I was in like elementary school, and I never got through the whole thing.
Charlie?
But I know she's the one that does the thing with the math.
Yeah. Math.
Right, Matilda?
Yeah, she's super smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she unlocks psychic abilities.
Yeah.
James and the Giant Peach.
I was scared of that movie when I was younger. I had it on VHS. That bitch, fucking all that stuff.
That's fair. The BFG, the Big Friendly Giant.
Nope.
Witches, the one where they turned the little boy to a mouse.
Nope. When I watched Twitches, shout out to you, Tamara.
Unrelated. either way, Roald Dahl. I think he's an interesting author. If y'all read the books. His world is fun. Okay, so a lot of the elements in this film are just kind of fun, and they're kind of silly, and they're over the top, and I think it works here. For example, the chocolate cartel, that was funny as fuck. Three businessmen who are obsessed with shutting down anybody like trying to come up in the world with a chocolate idea, and they got the whole city under lock and key. That's funny.
It's also for like the seriousness of it. Beyond that, like, it's kind of also like social, political, economical situation with it. And they did a really good job with that, because chocolate is kind of like money over there. And they try to like, you could think of it like drugs and like crack and stuff like that too. But you can also think of it like money, because he's like paying the fucking cops with chocolate. And like, he's just like, oh, I have all this chocolate and all this wealth. Right, and he's all there too. But the main part of the story, and what Willy Wonka's always trying to do, is he's trying to be like, listen, like, you can make the world whatever you want and you can dream it. And it really, like, the chocolate, he never sold it for more than one fucking silver, whatever, per chocolate. So he wasn't really in it for the fucking money. He was in for what the chocolate did for the people, you know? And so I think that, just like how you said, how it's always fun, they did a really fun way of masking it with all this chocolate and this dancing and all these things to keep it family friendly. But there's some like real like moral lessons that for a family too. Oh yeah, let's get into that too. But they're really good, like family morals and things like too, about, you know, just keep dreaming. The For the Moment song, you know, Noodles always just lived a whole life that it's like, yeah, like for the moment, like this is happy and this is good, but people change up on you left and right. And, you know, Wonka's just out there telling you, like, no, keep dreaming and I'm never going to give up on you and I'm going to be there, you know? So, and he did. And he gave her dream. He gave her more than her fucking dream. He made her dream a reality. That's what the fuck he did, girl. Ugh, so good.
I don't want, oh, you're making me start to think about Cats Don't Dance, which is one of my favorite movies, which is about essentially the animals dream about being actors in Hollywood. And they all get kind of like shot down by society.
Isn't that like just the Cats musical?
No, no. I don't know about Cats. I know about Cats Don't Dance. Either way, this movie, as you said, you know, yes, there is a real world symbolism type that themes going on here. So chocolate cartel, you know, big businesses, you know, running things, controlling everything, controlling the police, controlling the church, but also the ensemble cast, Willy Wonka, Noodle and their little group of, they're all dreamers. They all once had a dream, and this is kind of like a city where people come to live out their dreams. And then in real life, sometimes life happens, you can't go for your dream and you give up on your dream. And I feel that's a through line throughout the whole movie that I think is actually, it's the cast does a good job. So you have folks like your girl from
Insecure,
Natasha Rothwell.
Rocket, baby.
She's love here. Her. She's good. There's your Crunch, Abacus Crunch, the old man. He was funny.
He was funny.
Yes, yes. He was good. You had your girl from what?
Sex Ed. Oh, yes.
No, oh, man. I don't know her name. I can't find her.
I don't know her name either.
Oh, but she was good. That's her right there. Racky, that crar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That was butchered. Yeah. But, yo, shout out to that bitch from Sex Ed. Yo, I love you. And I'm so happy that you are getting more roles and shit because, yeah, you're just a great actress.
Oh, and then this guy, Rich Fulcher. They made a fun little group of dreamers, and
which is probably my least favorite one, but he had like the little comedic relief role.
Yes, he was fun. He was fun. I like this little group of dreamers. It was cute. It was cute, man. You had Keegan-Michael Key here.
He is so fucking funny. And he also, yo, shout out to him. He's in a lot of musicals. He's in that prom musical. He's in Lion King, right? No. He's in Lion King? Who's in Lion King? Oh, yeah. Yo, shout out to fucking him. He's doing really fucking good things. And his character is fucking hilarious, I feel, in this fucking musical. He also doesn't overact it either. Like, he's like, I feel like some of the other villains, they definitely overacted, but that was what they were supposed to do. But you know, his was funny because as the movie goes on, it just gets more funny because, spoiler alert, he does a chocolate deal and he's a fucking chocolate addict and all he does is get fatter and fatter and fatter.
Everybody in this town is almost a chocolate addict.
Yes, they're all really funny. They're all addicted and it's the greed of it all. He just kills it. It was so fucking funny.
Yes. He killed it. You're mentioning the three villains, the chocolate cartel led by Patterson Joseph as Arthur Slugworth, Matt Lucas as Prodnose. I don't know the name of the other guy.
Who's Prodnose? Is that the one that says, and you'll die?
Yes, and you'll die.
Okay.
Yes.
He was funny. The other one that's like,
poor.
They only say poor, he fucking throws up. First off, hilarious, but second off, when he fucking says, oh, I don't like people speaking that demographic, I said, Girl, oh my gosh, bitch. Could you imagine some bitch saying that shit in real life? Bitch would get canceled.
It's funny. It works. This movie works. And yes, their villain song might be one of my favorite villain songs.
I believe it because he's a fucking cheese ball.
I am a cheese ball. And that was a really fun song because, again, part of some bits of this movie, it's a musical, but they're not out here trying to be like In the Heights type of choreography. I swear they're bumping into each other. They said, look silly, look goofy, mm-hmm. and have fun with it. You know, they were not out here hitting every single, you know, on beat every time.
Yeah, it was definitely more about just creating like the atmosphere and the vibe of it all. Hit the little villain song was funny for certain things. They needed to fucking go back into the editing room. If you watch the fucking movie, you'll know what I'm talking about, especially for Michael Keane, whatever his role lines. They are out of sync twice. And I'm not the only one that called it. It's the only people called it. And maybe we're all just blind and maybe I'm wrong. But if you go back and you let us know, bitch, if that shit is out of motherfucking sync, because I think so it was. Oh, also, this bitch was about to run into a pole and then he didn't run into a pole. Yes. And that's, I was okay with that though. But the out of sync, unacceptable. Needed to be fixed.
Boy, oh boy. Your girl, Olivia Colman, Best Actress winner.
Oh, she's so fucking good. And she's so funny.
She is really funny. She's a villain here.
Yes, mm-hmm. I loved it. It was definitely giving me a little bit Les Mis tease with Mr.
Master of the House.
Yeah, Borat guy, whatever. No. That's, of course, the first fucking thing you think about.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, they did really fucking good with that.
This really did feel like a musical. It moved like a musical. There's like only three sets in the whole entire film.
Three sets?
Yeah, like the little chocolate mall, the church,
no, the orphanage. They have the pier, the zoo.
Yeah, but you know how like...
The underneath the church thing.
But you know how like musicals really have only like three big sets or whatnot and everything. The whole plot kind of centers around there, the main...
Yeah, I guess. I'll say this. Yeah, it does run like a musical for sure. I would love to see if they get a Broadway adaptation of this. That'd be great. I mean, there is a Willy Wonka
musical,
but that's based on the Factory and the older version.
Oh, Charlie!
So this one is like the younger one. So I mean, if it does happen, that would be fucking killer. And I think that they definitely have the content to do it. They may want to do a little more vocal arrangements because they definitely played it safe with a lot of characters, but it's a lot of talking singing.
Yeah. I will say, again, the set pieces were fun though. They had the one doing laundry. You mentioned the one in
the scrubs.
Scrubs.
You know what? Yeah, they needed if they're gonna put this on Broadway, are they gonna do anything like that? I would love to see more vocal because of the simple fact that it is really talky singing. Like, I don't know. I don't think anyone held a note.
And nobody.
No one held a note. Really
the girl.
Like that.
The girl.
Oh, the For the Moment one?
Kayla. I think it's Kayla. Did I say Kayla? Kayla.
Noodle.
Yeah. I think she was probably singing the most.
Oh, I'll tell you this. The first fucking little phrase she said, For the Moment, or whatever the fuck she did when she was doing the Moment song, I said, oh, she can sing. And then it kind of went into talky singing. But I was like, oh, good her.
Yes. Yeah. She has potential.
Yeah.
Yes. If I would like to see a sequel. And I think in a sequel, they will probably lean more into bigger musical elements. And play it safe is fine for now. I guess it's not the story they're trying to tell, which is fine. But again, the movie, the musical bits are very engaging. The world building is really fun. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean as the...
Oh, yeah.
As the priest,
his
the father.
Fucking chocolate addiction.
Chocolate. Yes, father.
Yes. And it's like, here, now set me fucking down.
Amen.
Oh, yo, his little Destiny's Child background singers, fucking the clergyman people. Yeah, they were fucking hilarious. Yeah, definitely need to see them. He's like, men. And he's like, yes, father, yes, father, yes, father.
It's silly. It's fun.
When you were saying about a sequel, I totally could see a sequel happening if they want one right now. If they don't do a sequel right now, that's totally fine. Oh, yeah, I would love though if like in the next like 15-ish years or whatever, if they do not, I guess not, it can be like a sequel, but also like a reboot of the Charlie and Chocolate Factory. Oh. And if Timothée Chalamet reprised his role, but like older Wonka, that would be gagging, because that's really cool. And it's also something that like the people, the kids who watch it now, they can go back to it later. Just giving the money. And if they do that, they do that. Just remember, you heard it here first, bitch. I would love a check. They're just, sure, bitch, they ain't gonna give me shit, but whatever. If they do that, that would be cool. And if they made Charlie and Chocolate Factory a musical, that would be fucking cool, which they do have already a musical, but like, you know, they can do that too.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's, that would be cool. That's a good idea.
All I do is got good ideas.
Sally Hawkins is here. This is emotional core as Willy Wonka's mother. She was good in the little role she played. Didn't oversell it. She's good. But I think another, probably this last cast member I think we need to talk about is Hugh Grant, the Oompa Loompa.
Yo, shout out to Mr. fucking Oompa Loompa, bitch. Little orange person
with green hair.
That shit was so fucking funny. Also, you know what? Yeah, he didn't miss ever. He ate everything. Also, he had like the little spyware and we're fucking coming in with these bat wings to come and save the motherfucking day. Everything. Yeah, he killed it. He really killed it. And it was hilarious as fuck when they're fucking almost dying on the chocolate thing. And then he's like, there, he's like, look, it's the little orange person. And it's like, thank you, little
orange person.
I said, oh, this is shit. It's fucking
hilarious. Oh, that was funny. Yes. Mm-hmm. Probably the best time I think I've ever had with the Oompa Loompas.
Well, yeah, because the other ones don't really talk.
They don't talk at all.
They just sing.
Correct.
Yeah, and they're usually like the butt of the joke.
Correct. They're slaves. They're indentured servants.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that. I think they did a little homework where they're like, this could be deemed problematic. And so they did it better here. It's more of a deal, and I think it's just one of them.
Also now. Not fat. Because the Oompa Loompas are, like, the original ones are usually, like, a little bit short and stubby and fat.
Well, not in the Johnny Depp one. They're just played by Deep Roy, and he's already just short.
I think they're, like, a little chubby.
No, in the original, I guess, but...
I don't know, girl.
Listen, they went the CGI route. Hate it or love it, it's here. It's the new thing. So,
yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, the cast is great. Everybody stood out. You know, the chocolate was there too. Chocolate, the you know, the aspect of the chocolate was fun. You're talking about his shop.
Yes.
Cool little set design.
Definitely cool.
Yeah.
And it's cool because he does have like the little Wonka shop in like kind of, I think, the same area for in the Charlie and Chocolate Factory. Like that too. I don't know if we're going to get into this right now, if I want to get into this right now, about the nostalgic pieces in it. Okay.
Wrapping this up. This is a short one.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So, one, I fucking called it about the fucking chocolate bar. So, for spoiler alert, but whatever. He gets a chocolate bar from his mother, right? Holds on to forever because he says, like, I'm holding on to this because one of his dreams is that when he gets this fucking Wonka shop with their name on it, that the mom is gonna show up and she's gonna be there right with them. So when he opens it up, he realizes, oh shit, she's not there, right? And gets all sad when he opens the shop up and she's not there. Later on, when he finally fucking gets a chocolate bar and he's like, oh, it's the end of the movie, he opens the fucking chocolate bar and guess what's there? A fucking golden ticket with the mom saying that the chocolate is, that it's more than just her being there, it's like the people you share it with. And I was like, bitch, he just has to open the fucking chocolate bar. I'm telling you that it's going to be in there. And sure enough, it was a golden ticket. So that was a really good golden nugget for people who have seen the other Wonkas before, because that's definitely where he gets inspiration for the golden fucking ticket, for sure. Also, really liked that there were 6 pieces of chocolate for that, one for each one of the people, because there was a gang of 6 of them. So that was really cool that he shared that chocolate bar with all of them.
There's 6 in the original, too.
Oh, I don't remember her.
4 grandparents, 2 of his parents.
Oh, shit. Well, go off, girl. So that was really good. Also, Pure Imagination being the last song.
You are not setting this up. Oh, my gosh. All right. We are spoiler territory. So spoiler territory. You know, there's this big plot twist with Noodle and who her family was. And it turns out she is a Slugworth. And for those who are unfamiliar with Slugworth, he is the guy in the original 1971. Like, whenever the kids got the golden ticket, he went up to them and was like, da, 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 da. And he's telling them, steal the Gobstopper and give it to me so I can steal Wonka's ideas.
Yeah, I don't remember the 71.
Either way, it was a test. Slugworth always worked for Wonka. He was testing the children. The only person to give the Gobstopper back was Charlie. And then it's revealed that Charlie won the factory and that Slugworth always worked for him. So in this movie, the little girl is a Slugworth, meaning there's that partnership. There it is. They just gender bend it to make her be the new Slugworth.
Period.
Right. And I'm totally here for it. It works greatly. A. Now B, she's an orphan. Her parents, she doesn't know what happened to them. She also taught Willy Wonka how to read. That was cute too.
Yes, they did a really good job of putting that in there as well, because he ends up being able to read the letters and read the mom's real fucking name.
Just like it was like Zero from Holes. Stanley, do you spell your last name? Is your last name your first name spelled backwards? You don't remember Holes? That's fine. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. Either way, very much.
Oh, Holes.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking Big Hero 6.
I don't know. Either way.
Shout out to Baymax.
They find her mom. And, you know, she's nervous to meet the mom. And Willie's been with her this whole time. He's never going to leave her side. They're friends. She's nervous, she's scared, and Willie says, Willie said, come with me and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
Predator. I'm kidding, but listen, the lyrics are a little questionable, but in terms of the actual musical, in the scene, it was giving. It was funny. When I was in the fucking audience getting this, I said, bet money Grandmaster Hu was losing his fucking shit. Sure enough, 20 seconds in, I look and he's fucking bawling, crying his eyes out. And I was just like, you are a fucking baby. But no, it was actually really good. And not only did they do like the old version and make it really like slow and really make the super heartfelt moment, they like knocked it out the park with that. Then when he gets over the Oompa Loompa, he does like a finale version of it, and they build the chocolate factory with all their fucking magic and amazingness, and that was a really fucking good ending for the musical. Like, it was really good to end on a high note. It set up for them to be able to do Unto if they really wanted to.
Yes.
But yeah, those are some really big nostalgic moments. So if you're like a millennial or somebody who just watched the old movies, that is something that we really enjoyed. Hopefully you guys enjoy it too. If you have not seen the other ones and you're listening to this podcast and you notice that and you're like, oh shit, I didn't know that was that big a deal, then maybe you should go fucking watch the old movies, bitch. And then you'll like it again. And also, peace, love, and chocolate. Grab the mic, please.
Okay. He's not wrong. They knew what they were doing. They said, we got to end this with nostalgia. They were perfectly correct to end it with nostalgia. So, yes, you know, millennials, if your parents put you on a Willy Wonka, you're going to appreciate the movie as a whole. And for baby boomers and Gen Y and all that stuff, they're going to appreciate. I honestly think they'll appreciate this movie. I think there's a lot to appreciate for new and for old. And I think, gosh, and we can wrap this up now. Out of 5 stars, I gave this movie 4.5 stars out of 5. Namely because I've missed 6 minutes of the movie.
So 9 out of 10 for you.
It's a 9 out of 10. I probably missed the biggest musical number, and that probably would have been for me what solidifies this movie. But I missed it. I was in the bathroom. I had to go, don't eat Taco Bell during the movies ever. Biggest mistake of my life.
Gordita crunch, bitch.
2 gordita crunches.
Fat.
With some nacho fries. Fat is correct.
Okay, girl, we love it fat. P-H-A-T.
Sure.
Fat.
Yeah.
And I gave the movie a 9.5. I was gonna give it a 9, but then I was like, no, because 9.5 for me. I like musicals. I do, however, agree that if you do not like musicals, you may find this to be more of a 7.5 situation for you if you really like the story and the acting wise, but you're just like, this fucking music is trash. You may not like it. But I think that, you know, I wouldn't put it past saying that Timothée Chalamet is one of the many. I don't even know how old is he.
He's like 25.
Oh, so he's a Gen Zer. He's 1997 or later. So if he's 1997 or later,
27.
He's no, he's a millennial. Sorry. All right.
Turns 28 in a couple of weeks.
Wow, I'm older than him by like a month. Welcome, baby girl.
Capricorn.
I said, if it don't work out, well, Kylie, hit me up. Just kidding. but not. Anyways, he's part of like the obviously we're in the Gen Z era of people that are Gen Z is finally taking in media and actually like critiquing it with like actual thought as opposed to just being like clout chasers and whatever fucking goes on TikTok is the fucking good thing. Like they actually have a motherfucking opinion right now that is of valid and of credibility. I'm gonna get canceled. But anyway, Timothée Chalamet is one of the people that is bringing in musicals back. I feel like musicals have been falling off lately with a lot of people. It was a big thing for us as millennials, major part due to Disney. You know, Disney having all these musical animated movies as well as Disney Channel having a lot of musicals in general. So I feel like a lot of our generation is more into musicals. But nowadays, musicals don't really hit as hard. And especially with the younger demographic, I don't feel like y'all are getting those musicals. And I think this is a really good one to start it off. So hopefully they'll come up with more musicals that are good, just like this. And then we'll maybe see a resurgence of musicals in movies that are good, which we kind of are. I mean, Color Purple, and Mean Girls and Wicked. And, you know, it's happening. It's happening. The musical era is coming back, baby. So... yeah,
and then musicals are coming back. This also evokes like modern Hollywood music, like old school. Like this was given like Singing in the Rain type vibes. Yeah. So you know, people will like that, like it or not, whatever. The movie has a lot of heart, and the heart comes through in everything. The characters, the world building, the themes. It really comes through. So, oh man, I was gonna close it off with one of the, oh, because you know we're still in this era of reboots and sequels and prequels. This was a really good blend of a reboot / prequel in this case. It felt original.
Yeah, and it kind of, for the most part, was original.
It was. I mean, I don't think Roald Dahl did like a spinoff of Willy Wonka talking about his past.
Yeah, it is original because technically there's never been a prequel like that, and the only thing is in the,
to our knowledge,
well, in the thingy, what's it called, Johnny Depp, they do like little flashbacks and stuff.
Yes, with the great Christopher Lee saying, yeah, no son of mine will make candy.
Yeah, so that might be a little different.
I missed him. I thought I would have loved.
I don't think that fucking should happen. But in this one, it's mostly original.
It's a Willy Wonka verse. You need to choose which Willy Wonka and which timeline do you care to partake in, or how these timelines interact. It's up to you.
Depending on this box office, if he be getting the fucking money, you might see a Wonka 2. I really
hope. I don't know the budget on this film, but I really hope it makes its money back. It's got $125 million budget. I think it'll make it back. Our theater was, there's a good amount of people in our theater.
Yeah.
I think it can definitely take number one this week. I don't think anything else came out this week. But, you know, definitely recommend this movie. And obviously, if you're listening to the pod, you might have already watched it. For those who haven't, you know, Apex gave the spoiler alert. Hopefully you turned away or whatever. And
bitch,
fast forward.
I don't give a fuck. Spoil the shit. Go ahead and watch the movie anyway. Just because something spoiled off of what we said, you can still experience it for the first time yourself.
Very true. Very true. But yeah, shout out to the whole crew with Wonka, Paul King, Simon Farnaby, and Timothée Chalamet, man, leading the way. And then again, breakout star Kayla Lane, 14 years old. She's gonna go places.
Yeah, work, mama. I fucking hope you get picked up for some shit with like Netflix or something else to give you some more roles and some more credits to get in there. Because yeah, you did really fucking good. You did actually really fucking good. And for being 14, that's a really big challenge, being so young and being able to carry.
Absolutely.
Because she was definitely in the upper tier of best actors in the whole cast.
Correct.
For sure.
Correct. But yeah, goodness, I think we're good. That's it. We're okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we missed anything. Yeah. Yep. So folks, that's it from, again, it was real quick. That's it from us here at the Yonko table talking about Wonka, Mr. Willy Wonka, out in theaters now. Go check it out. You have our stamp of approval. Dr. Jace was there too. He almost didn't come and he enjoyed it as well. He gave it a 9 and I stand on that. I stand by that. I'm not making that up. All right. So, you know, hey, thank you for giving us all the support. Follow us on all your podcast listening stations, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that jazz. Thank you for following us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Dr. Jace just hit 6,000 subscribers on his YouTube page. So shout out to Dr. Jace. Shout out to y'all for following him and following our content on his page as well. And of course, if you want to ever join the discourse you hear here at the pod, be sure to hit the link below and join the Discord. We're glad to duke it out with y'all. And yeah, always drop a like, give us a follow, and got more content coming your way. With that said, I am your host, Grandmaster Hoop, Supernova Apex. How should we close this final? Say something silly.
Something silly. Oh, you know what's so funny? This is a super sidebar. When I hear Wonka and he's like, Wonka, first thing I think of is Nicki Minaj on Sri Lanka. So, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Stream Pink Friday too, also, if you're a barb. But either way, you know, I hope everyone has a great night or great day whenever you're doing it. Get yourself a motherfucking chocolate bar and just think about something sweet and positive.
Oompa loompa doompity doop. He just gave you a lot to do. Oompa loompa doompity doop.
He looks like a fucking Oompa Loompa.